So, we're wrapping up this series, which is called Aftermath, because we have been talking about everything that the disciples and the new church did after Jesus went back to heaven, and just what it was like for them. Because what you guys will realize as you go through middle school and you're preparing for high school, and it's like, man, this is going to be so different, but I'm ready. But then you're there, and it's not that you can't do it, but it's like, this is different now that I'm doing it. Same with high school. Like, you go through high school, and you're getting ready for college, and it's like, okay, I know, I understand this. I know people that have gone to college. And again, it's not that you can't do it, but you start doing it, and it's just way different because you learn, oh, this is, I have to redo some of the things I do. Same with college. Like, when you're in college, and you're getting ready for the real world, it's like, okay, I understand some of this, and then, or in some cases, none of this. But then you're like, oh, man, this is actually different. And again, it's not all good different, not all bad different. It's just different. And you have to learn some of the things that you thought are different and you change. And then, you know, as you grow, you learn all of these things. Like, you probably have certain things in your head that you're like, I'm never going to be able to do this, like taxes or other things that are hard. And it's like, man, I just don't know. Or the SAT, if you haven't taken that. It's like, I just can't imagine doing this. But once you do it, it goes the other way too. And it's like, okay, I get this. So the disciples went through 3 years basically of full prep. Like, Jesus every day was working with them and talking to them and preparing them. And he's like, hey, I'm going to go away sometime. And most of the time they're like, yeah, I'm sure. Cool. Not that they didn't believe him, but it's like they had seen him. Once you see somebody like walk on water and turn water into wine and bring somebody back from the dead, you cannot imagine a scenario where he will not be there anymore. It's like, well, he's perfect and immortal and all of these things. And so they were preparing, but until it actually happened, until they actually watched him disappear into the sky, it's like, what is this? And so they just kind of stood there. And you remember from the first week, whether they were angels or prophets or whatever, they came up and they're like, hey, stop staring, go do stuff. And again, it's not that they wouldn't have eventually done it, but it's like, this is real now. Like, we are the church now. Like, this is crazy. And we talked about how it changed, how everything was different, how he had promised the Holy Spirit, they get the Holy Spirit. They start to talk to other people, even in other languages, and they start to do the things. And then Peter walks up, and even though he was up and down all of his life, he has the words, and he has the strength, and he has the courage, these things that he'd learned over time, but he probably didn't realize until he started talking, until he started doing things. And just how they joined together in a community, and they're like, hey, it's not just us. You guys go out and do this too. And they brought in other disciples. They brought in other believers. And all of this was building the church. And that is, again, kind of how life is. Like, you go through things that prepare you for the big game, for the big test, for the next level, for the next stage of your life. Like, all of these things you're going through to prepare. But there's always going to be some type of opposition. Sometimes it's people. Sometimes it's bad grades. Sometimes it's a failure. Sometimes it's something that you don't expect. Sometimes it's your own inner voice. Sometimes it's somebody else that you thought was a friend, etc. But there's always something in the way. And so how you combat that, how you go against that, how you live through that changes. So the disciples are going through this period of time where they knew that it was dangerous. They knew that they could be killed. They knew that the church was this radical thing that the other people in the area did not want to happen. So they knew that it was a big thing. They'd seen Jesus die on the cross. And yet, until they actually faced this heavy opposition, it's not that they didn't understand or didn't know, but it's like, then they realized not what it was like, but what it was like to go through it, what it was like to get past it. And so we're going to talk about that this week. This is from Acts chapter 5, verses 17 through 42. The high priest and his officials, who were Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in a public jail. But an angel of the Lord came at night, opened the gates of the jail, and brought them out. Then he told them, go to the temple and give the people this message of life. So at daybreak, the apostles entered the temple as they were told and immediately began teaching. When the high priest and his officials arrived, they convened the high council, the full assembly of the elders in Israel. Then they sent for the apostles to be brought from the jail for trial. But when the temple guards went to the jail, the men were gone. So they returned to the council and reported, the jail was securely locked, with the guards stepping outside, but when we opened the gates, no one was there. When the captain of the temple guard and the leading priests heard this, they were perplexed, wondering where it would all end. Then someone arrived with startling news. The men you put in jail are standing in the temple teaching the people. So basically the disciples, the apostles, got arrested for teaching the people, for being near the temple, for doing the things that were illegal and talking about Jesus. They get arrested. They know that they might die. They get out of prison. And then they go right back and do the same thing. So again, even though as you read that and you hear that, you're like, well, that's kind of crazy. But they knew that this is what their life was supposed to be. And so you've all heard the story of Michael Jordan, who gets cut from the basketball team. And then the very next year, he goes back out again. And most people would be like, that's crazy. And yet he does, and he succeeds. You've seen other people in sports, other people in celebrity, other people in other places, probably people that you know yourself, who will fail, even fail in a big way, and then they go and try again. And sometimes they fail a second time, a third time. Sometimes they are never able to get through it, but they keep trying and doing the same thing. And people are like, that's crazy, but it's because they know what their life is. And so that's what the disciples are doing. And they know that they're not hiding. They know that they might get arrested. They know they might get killed. But this is something that they're trying to do to show who Jesus is to them and what he can do through them. And it even started with the reason everybody's kind of opposing them is because they're jealous. Probably when you were growing up, somebody made fun of you and your mom said they're just jealous of you. Most of the time, that's not true. But sometimes it is. Not necessarily because of your looks or your smarts or anything like that. But sometimes people can tell if you are doing your best. Sometimes people can tell if you have love. Sometimes people can tell if you understand that you're not perfect. And they can just see like the spotlight around you. And it's like, man, you know, something just bugs me about that kid or about that person. And they try all the time and they do their best and they don't always win. But man, they keep trying and people will get mad at that sometimes. And sometimes it's people that don't like anything to do with you. They don't like your faith. They don't like what you're studying, whatever. And so they're just against you and they're against what you believe in, what you stand in. But most of the time it's people that believe the same way as you or want to do the same things as you, but they can't get themselves to try. They can't get themselves to go, or maybe a failure early in their life stopped them completely. And so even though they wouldn't even consciously know they're jealous, they see when people do things that they're supposed to do. So like if you stand up in church and you're like, I've got a testimony, like I want to talk about my faith, that most of the people, probably 99% of the people in any congregation are like, that's awesome. Like a young person talking about their faith, that's great. But probably there's someone either watching on live stream or somewhere that's like, man, they should just shut up. Like, we should just go on with the service. And again, it's not that they disagree with the faith. They have the same faith. But somewhere, and often it's subconscious, it's like, it's not fair that they can do that and I can't. And it happens a lot in school. Like, a lot of times people that are really smart and do get really good grades get made fun of. A lot of times top athletes get made fun of, even though they're top athletes and so they don't super care, but still they get made fun of. A lot of times top Warhammer people get made fun of all the time. Top Warhammer people get made fun of. But, and so it's like when you really are doing your best, when you're really succeeding, when you're really trying, and when you're really putting yourself out there, there are going to be people who don't like you because of it. And again, it doesn't mean that they disagree with you. It's just that they know in their hearts that they should be doing that, but they've given up or they feel like they can't or whatever reason. And so that's what it means by jealousy. Going to the next part. The captain went with the temple guards and arrested the apostles, but without violence, for they were afraid the people would stone them. Then they brought the apostles before the high council, before the high priest confronted them. We gave you strict orders never again to teach in this man's name, he said. Instead, you have filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about him, and you want to make us responsible for his death. But Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead after you killed him by hanging him on a cross. Then God put him in the place of honor at his right hand as Prince and Savior. He did this so the people of Israel would repent of their sins and be forgiven. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who is given by God to those who obey him. When they heard this, the high council was furious and decided to kill them. But one member, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, who was an expert in religious law and respected by all the people, stood up and ordered that the men be sent outside the council chamber for a while. Then he said to his colleagues, men of Israel, take care what you are planning to do with these men. Some time ago, there was that fellow Theudas, who pretended to be someone great. About 400 others joined him, but he was killed, and all his followers went their various ways. The whole movement came to nothing. After him, at the time of the census, there was Judas of Galilee, who got people to follow him, but he was killed too, and his followers were scattered. So basically, this guy is saying, hey, you know, handle this right. Like, if you make them martyrs, a lot of people might follow them. If you just kind of let them go and get themselves in trouble, people might not care. And so he's kind of doing this logic thing. But basically, what I want to focus on here is how the disciples reacted, how Peter reacted. Because a lot of times when we, as Christians or as people, whichever one you want to reference yourself as, we get called out on something or we face opposition, and what then let's say we go and we succeed next, we want to kind of spit in their face and be like, hey, I told you I could do this. Or we want to go back at them just as hard. We want to hit them harder. We want to make fun of them back. We want to bully them back. We want to call them out back. And you can see this all over Facebook all of the time. Christians calling out Christians, non-Christians calling out non-Christians. Like, it happens all of the time everywhere. And yet, when Peter is threatened and the disciples are threatened and they go back and they do the same thing, they don't say, yeah, we're not scared of you, we don't care what you think. They say, we can't not do this because we love Jesus so much. Like, they're not saying, what is wrong with you, we hate you, you're so dumb, all this other stuff. They talk about why they're doing it. I've said this before, but we're coming up on a wonderful presidential election. Non-combative and just kind. You'll see kindness everywhere. But in reality, what you'll see, not just for the presidential election, but for all of the offices that are major, like Congress, you will see commercials, political commercials. Very rarely will the political commercial say, this is why you should vote for me. They will say, look at this person over here. If you vote for him, it's going to destroy your family, your world, your life. It's going to destroy everything. And they'll say that for everything. And both of them will say it about each other in the commercials, and so it's kind of crazy. The point is, that's what a lot of it, we'll make fun of that, we'll see that, be like, that's awful, but then that's what we kind of do sometimes when we're opposed by somebody. We try to tear them down, we try to make them look dumb, we try to make them look small, so that we'll look bigger. But what really we should do is what Peter does here. He doesn't say anything about high priests, nothing at all. He doesn't say anything about how wrong they are, even though they're wrong and they're trying to kill people that are innocent. He doesn't say any of that. He just says, Jesus saved me. And I want him to save Israel. And he has something for everybody. And he just talks about why it is. And if you can imagine if somebody that was a politician actually did that and actually didn't tear down everybody else and said, hey, this is what I want to do, they wouldn't get elected because people don't want that. But no, it's like, that's what we should do. That's how we should respond. Why we are doing something. Tearing down someone else, making fun of somebody else, opposing somebody else, doesn't make you any better. If you're short and you make fun of all tall people, you're not getting any taller, believe me. And so it's the same thing with good grades. Like, if you don't get any A's and you make fun of the people that make A's, it's not helping you. Now, if you say, hey, I want to try harder, hey, could you tutor me or can you do this, whatever, then that helps you. And so with Peter, if he stands there and he just tears down, and there were a lot of things he could have said about the high priests and the Pharisees that was accurate, and if he just listed all of that, A, they get madder, but B, the other people watching are like, oh, I thought he was different. Like, I thought he said this Jesus guy was different. He's just like them. And that's what we have to understand. On Tuesday, I talked about the Good Samaritan, and we've done that parable before, you know it. But the key is not just the Samaritan who was hated helping the Jewish guy who hated him. The key is that before that, the priest walked by and ignored him and even went to the other side of the road. And if you can imagine seeing that, seeing someone that you look up to, seeing someone that you want to know about, seeing someone that you admire their faith, doing something like that and just ignoring somebody in need or making fun of somebody in need or telling an awful joke about somebody in need, you're like, oh, I thought they were different. Like, I can do that. Like, this is not different. And so the disciples, even when they're opposed, they're showing. And you may be like, well, yeah, but they keep getting let out of prison by angels, so they've kind of got a charmed life. Well, they don't. For one, they all died eventually. But next, so my advice is leave these men alone. Let them go. This is the guy still talking. If they are planning on doing things merely on their own, it will soon be overthrown. But if it is from God, you will not be able to overthrow them. So basically, he's like, if you try really hard and mess up, then more people are going to like them. If you try really hard and mess up, and then it turns out they're legit, you're screwed. So you may even find yourselves fighting against God. The others accepted this advice. They called in the apostles and had them flogged. So again, this guy had a logical case and said, we shouldn't kill them. We shouldn't do this. And they're like, okay, that makes sense. Let's beat them. And so again, you may think, well, they keep getting let out of prison and they're not being killed. And these people are even deciding, just let them do their own thing. They still got beaten and that hurts. And so it's still, they had to face these things. They knew every day they went out, they might die. And they still kept doing it. You may fail everything you try. You may, and I hope you don't, and you know, eventually you'll find something you succeed at. But it sucks, and it sucks to mess up, and it sucks to lose, and it sucks to fail. But if you keep trying, that's really the only way you can truly succeed. There's this stupid quote, although it kind of makes sense, and I think Shaq said it, but somebody said it, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. You don't. And so there is a place for people that don't take shots on the basketball court. But the idea is sound that, like, if you just, you're like, man, I want to be a great shooter and you never shoot, you're not going to be that. Like, you're just not going to be that. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a writer. I want to be a good person. Like, if you just keep saying stuff like that and you never actually do it, it's not going to happen. And so the disciples, they could have just said, we want to be like Jesus. We want to be like Jesus. They actually went out and tried, and they actually went out and did it. And obviously, since the church still exists, they succeeded. But they also failed a bunch, and they also were killed. And a lot of Christians over time have failed, but they keep trying, and they keep going, and they keep doing things. And so the apostles left the high council rejoicing, even after getting flogged. God counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they continued to teach and preach the message, Jesus is the Messiah. They didn't let the opposition stop them. They also didn't invent opposition. A lot of times people try to kind of say, man, I'm so persecuted, and do all of those things. And sometimes it happens, but sometimes they use that as an excuse so that they don't have to do anything. It's like, man, it's just every time I try. We can be our own worst enemies, and we can be a self-fulfilling prophecy where we're like, well, if I try, I'm going to fail. And then we kind of go out and we give it like a 75% effort and we fail. What the disciples show us is that they were not perfect, and we've seen Peter fail. But when they faced opposition, like legit opposition, they did not let them change them. And that's the biggest thing. Because sometimes people can stop you. Not from the way you believe, not from what you think, not from how you try, but they can stop you. They can beat you in a game. They can fail you in a class. They can dump you, whatever the thing. But they cannot change who you are. Only you can do that. And so if you allow anger, hatred, all of these things that people may show you to change you, then they win. But if you, like the disciples, just keep going. And it's like, whatever they do, I can't control that, because you can't control anybody else. I can just do my best, and I'm going to keep doing that. That's who you are, and that's who you can be, and that's how we face opposition. We be who we are. We are who we are, maybe. And we keep trying it, and we keep doing it, and we look at Jesus, and not just as a savior, although that's important, but as an example. And it's like, how did he deal with people? How did the disciples deal with people? How did they deal with opposition? By trying, by not letting it change them, by showing love, by showing understanding, by not treating people the way that they were treated. And in fact, by treating them the way they wanted to be treated. Because that is the only thing you can control, what you do. You can't control who you listens to. You can't control how they react to you. You can only control who you are. And so go out and do that. Be who you are, and don't let anybody else change you. And that's all I got.